Reverend Matenke. It's very challenging. It's very challenging speaking after Rav Schwartz, after Rabbi Feldman. It's very inspiring. It's a great chizuk to get the opportunity to listen to Rav Schwartz and to hear Rabbi Feldman. It's intimidating because no matter how many gray hairs start to creep into my hair, I'm still always nervous to speak in front of Rav Schwartz Shlita. And it's difficult to speak after Rabbi Feldman because I now have to take out half of my remarks. They're finished after that talk. Bershus, the dear Tzibur, close friends, it's a special to acknowledge Mrs. Matenke and the Noviks and the entire family. I want to address this morning a topic of... Thank you so much. I want to address this morning the topic of Kiddush Hashem, of the sanctification of the name of God, which initially, when it first comes to mind, is inextricably linked with martyrdom. And I'd like to just get straight to it. Take a look in your packets on page 1. Hopefully everybody has a source packet. So this is a source, it's really a very depressing source, an English translation of the Chronicle of Reb Shlomo Rav Shimshon. Some of you will be familiar with this from the Tisha B'Av. This is really a Tisha B'Av topic, which is the description of life in Worms and Mainz and Speyer during the Crusades. This was written by Reb Shlomo Rav Shimshon, who lived just a generation afterwards, so he heard this from people who were actually there in the description. So I'd like to read just a small snippet. It's quite a work in its description, also in its breadth, of both all three communities. But we're here right now in Sivan. There were many women there who sanctified the name of their Creator to their last breath. So here we have the author, Shlomo Rav Shimshon, putting out the notion of Kiddush Hashem, not giving him up for the crucified bastard. One of them was Mistress Rachel, the spouse of our late master Reb Lezer, who had been the colleague of Rabbi Yehuda, the son of Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yehuda, a famed scholar, had also been slain in sanctification of God's name. So now we have Kiddush Hashem linked to martyrdom here in the context of the Crusades. There were other saintly women with them who also sanctified God's name. These pure souls were brought before the churchyard, where the enemy attempted to persuade them to submit to baptism. When they arrived at the temple of their pagan cult, the women refused to enter the edifice of idolatry, rooting their feet on the threshold, unwilling to enter and inhale the odor of the offensive incense. When the errant one saw that the women stood firm against the abomination, and what is more, that they remained true with all their heart to the living God, they fell upon them with axes and smote them. Thus, the saintly women were slain in sanctification of God's name. The Crusades, this one of many stories, really typifies our association of Kiddush Hashem and martyrdom. This was one of the most intense periods, especially it's a formative period in terms of Ashkenazic practice and Mesiras Nefesh over the generations. This is the association, Kiddush Hashem and sanctification through martyrdom. Now, where does this come from? Where do we find in the Torah that there is an insistence upon and that there is a reverence of? We uphold these types of kedoshim. They are referred to as the holy ones. So it comes back to a pasuk. Let's look at page 2. The Torah tells us coming on the heels of a discussion regarding korbanos, regarding offering appropriate sacrifices, that we are told to sanctify the name of God, and the pasuk concludes, "V'nikdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael." I should be sanctified among the Jewish people, within the Jewish people. So says the Sifra, the Ramban on the top left quotes it, but you can see on the next page inside the Sifra, which is the Medrash right here on Parashas Emor on page 3, on the bottom right-hand column. What does the Torah mean? Velo sechalalu, bottom right column, the top of the column there. This is coming from the Xerox from the Rabbi Kasher's Torah Shlema. V'lo sechalu, shomea ani mimashma shenemra lo sechalu, emor kadosh. It's obvious, the inference of don't disgrace the name of God, don't create a chilul. Ukshu omer v'nikdashti, what does it mean when the Torah says v'nikdashti, I should be sanctified? Says the Torah Kohanim, mesor atzmacha v'kadesh shmi. You have to be willing to, you have to be prepared to give up your life. Mesor atzmacha v'kadesh shmi. The sanctification is associated with a martyrdom. And this is what the Rambam tells us in page 4. This is in the fifth parak of the Rambam's Hilchos Yesod HaTorah. You'll find this in the Rambam's book, Hamada, the first of the 14 books of the Yad HaChazaka. Top of the page, in the middle. Rambam is living 13th century, end of the 12th century, Spain, Morocco, Egypt. Kol Beis Yisrael Mitzuvin Al Kiddush Hashem. The entire house of Israel is obligated in Kiddush Hashem. Hagodol Azeh Shenemar, what does he quote? He quotes the pasuk we just mentioned. V'nikdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael. Umuzharin, and we are instructed, Shalom l'chalalo, not to disgrace, God forbid, the name of God. Shenemar v'lo s'chalalo Hashem kochi. And you should not create a chilul Hashem. So just so we should understand, what does the word chilul Hashem, what does that phrase mean? So the word chilul comes from the word chalal, a vacuum. So Kiddush Hashem means to bring the presence of Hashem into this world. That's our job. That's what we're all doing every breath of our life. Our purpose is to bring the presence of Hashem into the world. And Chil Hashem means to create a chalal, to mean a vacuous space. That it used to be that Hashem's name was here, and all of a sudden that name is gone. So there is an absence of the presence of the Almighty. That's a Chil Hashem. So where do we find this? The Rambam says, Ketzad, how does this play out? Following the model that we just created. When a non-Jew forces us, coerces us to violate our faith, O Yahargenu, or he instructs us that he will kill us, Yavro v'lo Yehoreg, he should rather violate the law, except for Shenemar bar mitzvos asher liyase osam ha'odam v'chay b'hem v'lo shiyamos b'hem, b'amed var mamurim halacha beiz, v'shar mitzvos chutz me avodazara, gilei arayos u'shvichas damim. When it comes to the three cardinal averos of avodazara, idolatry, immorality, sexual immorality, and shvichas damim, murder, and there are a couple of other exceptions, as an aside, these ones we say, yehareg v'al yavor. And then the Rambam continues into some of the more technical details of this mitzvah. It depends. Is it in a public fashion? Is it in a private fashion? What types of averus are we talking about? And also, and that's part of what the details here are very context specific, what's the environment? Is the environment of one what we call Shas Hashmad, where there's this general attempt by non-Jews to undercut the Jewish religion? And then, says the Rambam, based on the Talmud passage in Talmud, in Maseches Sanhedrin, then we would have to be very stringent, we would require Kiddush Hashem, even in something very slight. This is the basis, the halachic basis. So what is the underlying theme here of giving up your life, of Mesor Atzmacha, of Yehareg Va'al Yavor? So this underlying theme could be taken even to one step further, a very dramatic step further, in the next page, at page 5. You're looking at a very fascinating and unusual source. The top of the page is the Smak. And the Smak is the Sefer Mitzvos Katan written by one of the Balei HaTosfos. Now Tosfos, as many of you know, Tosfos is not one man. Tosfos is a group of scholars living in France. Usually they live mostly about, I would say, an hour train ride northeast of Paris, if you ever happen to be in the neighborhood. Cities like Dampierre or Rouen, this area just northeast of Paris, where the Balei HaTosfos lived there for about a century. So one of the later of the Balei HaTosfos lived in a city called Corville. His name is Rabbi Yaakov of Corville. He authored this, what's called the top, Smak, Samach Mem Kuf, stands for Sefer Mitzvos Katan. Okay, that's the top section here. And he's talking here on the top about Kiddush Hashem. The second section, which I underline here, is called the Smak Mi Zurich. Zurich is a Hebrew name for Zurich. So there was a very important, one of the later Rishonim who lived, it's a little discussion exactly when he lives, but Lepashtus, it seems that from the introduction of this volume, which I'm sharing with you, which is published was published in Tufshin Mem Aleph, a little under 20 years ago, edited by Yitzchok Yaakov Harsho Shanim Rosenberg. If you're looking this up, you can find this online at Hebrew Books. That's where you can get it, because this is a very hard sefer to get. This is a Xerox copy of the Smak Sirich title page. So he points out in his introduction that Rav Moshe Tzirich, his last name was Neumark. He lived in Zurich. He was the father-in-law of the Maharil. Now the Maharil was Rabbi Yaakov Siegel, also known as Rabbi Yaakov Molin, who was the father, I would say, of Ashkenazic Minhagim. If you want to talk about all the Minhagim that we have on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, the whole year, so if you look in the Ashkenazic practice, it's all rooted in the Maharil, 14th century Maharil lived in Germany. So his Mechutin, his father-in-law, was this Rav Moshe Neumark, who lived in Zurich. He actually lived somewhere else first, but then he lived in Zurich, which is why he was famous. So this puts us right smack in the middle of the 14th century. So the Rav Moshe Neumark, the Smak Tzirich's comments on a work that was 200 years earlier, on the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. So listen to what the Smak Tzirich has to say about this comment of Kiddush Hashem. Umikan Samchu, he looks at earlier sources. I didn't give you the first page. I wanted just to cut to the chase in terms of how deep this rootedness of Kiddush Hashem goes. We alluded to this in a different context once on Tisha B'Av, not for now. Mikan Samchu Lishchot Hayeladim B'Shas HaGzeira. On this premise of Kiddush Hashem, rabbis have ruled. This is an extremely controversial passage, this Smak Tzirich of the 14th century, because other rabbis vehemently opposed this practice, but it was the common practice. It's described at length in that commentary of Rav Shimshon of the Chronicles of the Crusades. What happened? People slaughtered their own children, says the Smak Tzirich. This was the proof. She'enam yodim bein tov l'ra. Lafisha anu yureim. We are concerned. Pan yishtaku bein hagoyim b'giyusam. What would happen if, God forbid, these children would be given over for baptism to the church, to the crusaders? That's what he's referring to. Again, four centuries later. Kishe yigdalu mutav sheyamusu zakoyim va'al yamusu chayovim. It's better off that they should die when they are mutter, when they are zakai, they have no averus. Shekeim otzinu, we found a similar model, gabi mensor umore, she'al shem sof, she'sofo lalasim abrios. This is a whole separate parasha, that the wayward son, we put him to death, even though he's really not of age that we should be putting him to death, but we, again, separate discussion, why it is that we say we'd rather him perish while he is as a clean slate, and rather than let him become, you know, a gangster and a mobster, that's a separate discussion. Ad kan loshon, just the last three words here. Ad kan loshon ha'avi ezri. Avi ezri, he's referring, this is not his own chiddush, the Smak Tzirich. He's quoting the Avi ezri. Who's the Avi ezri? Years before him was a man who we know as the Ravya, Rabbi Lezer ben Yoel Halevi, also from the Ashkenaz community. So they have this very strong tradition, the predominant practice in the Germanic communities of Ashkenaz. He quoted from the Avi Ezri, Avi Yosef, this great Rav Yah, Rav Lezer ben Yoel Halevi, that this was the practice that people would actually shech their children. This was part of the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. Next page, says the Holy Sfas. Rav Arya Leib of Gur, the great Ger Rebbe living at the end of the 19th century, this is a talk that he gave in Tuf Reish Nun Tes. So that puts us 110 years ago, just almost 111 years ago, in Parshas Emor, on this Pasuk of Benikdashti. So says the Sfas Emes, I'll tell you where this comes from. You want to understand where martyrdom and Kiddush Hashem comes from? I'll explain it to you, says the Rebbe. He says the following. The Pasuk is the Benikdashti B'Sof B'nei Yisrael, and it concludes, Hamotzi Eschem Me'eretz Mitzrayim. Second line, you see where it's demarcated with the little bracket there. Pirish, B'chol Eish She'is Yisrael Moser Nafsho, Mem Samach Nun is Moser Nafsho, Ba'avur Kedusha Shemo, Misorer Yitzias Mitzrayim. When a person sanctifies his name in martyrdom in the name of Hashem, he somehow conjures up the energies of Yitzias Mitzrayim. The exodus. How's that? Kitachlis Yitzias Mitzrayim. The pinnacle of Yitzias Mitzrayim, the purpose, the telos was Lios Lochem Lelokim, to be for you for a God. Ubemesiris Nefesh, with this act of self-sacrifice and martyrdom, mekabel olav elokuso yizbarach, misora koach yitzias Mitzrayim. If yitzias Mitzrayim, Hashem molded us and He freed us, He emancipated us, for what? To become servants of Hashem. So the greatest way to give yourself up to Hashem yizbarach, that would be through martyrdom. That's mesiras nefesh amitis. Ubezeh hakoach yochol limsor nafsho b'fol. And with this energy, with this intensity, you can actually give up your life. And this, he says, is intrinsic genuza b'chalal Yisrael. And that's what says the Sfas Emes, is martyrdom is all about. So on the I would say in the first glance, Kiddush Hashem means the ability, says the Sfas Emes, to transcend this physical existence, to give yourself up wholly to Hashem. In the Yetzias Mitzrayim way, in the most intense way possible, and that is literally giving your soul up for HaKadosh Baruch. That is Kiddush Hashem. But it doesn't stop there. Take a look at the next page. A fundamental Gemara in Maseches Yuma. You see where the arrow is on the right side. We're about, I would say, 68% of the way down page. Pei Vav Amud Aleph here in Yuma. Hechi Domi Chilul Hashem. You see why I put a little bracket there. What constitutes, asks the Gemara, Chilul Hashem? Why is the Gemara asking this in Yuma? Because this perek is all about Yom Kippur. And the Gemara is trying to figure out there are different chiluke kapara from the Mishnayos. There are different averus that a person could commit, lo aleinu. This is just, it's the season we talk about averus. So if a person commits particular averus, there are corollaries of how to do tshuva. So if a person violates averus kalos, so then there's one possibility for tshuva. If a person, averus are, lo aleinu, averus chamuros, the very serious averus, so then there's another possibility. And the worst, if you want to go down the line in terms of the most depraved, deplorable, the worst possible ever, that's Chilul Hashem. Chilul Hashem, it's dangerous territory, says the Mishnah. I don't want to even say it's really bad news. So what is Chilul Hashem? That's what the Gemara is trying to find out here. How do we figure out when you are really in deep water? When are you really in serious trouble? This is what the context is. It says the Gemara, Hechi Domi Chilul Hashem, what constitutes a Chilul Hashem? Amar Rav. Rav said the following. Rav, again, keep in mind, is perhaps one of the most important, prominent Amoraim, rabbis of the Talmud. Kagon Ana, it's like me. Ishakil na bisra mitivcha, velo yehiv na domi la'alter. If I take meat from the butcher, and I don't pay immediately. 2 lines later. Abaye, where the bracket is on the left side, the arrow on the left side. Kiddushakil bisra mitrei shutfi. When Abaye would take meat from two partners, say you had two partners who owned a butcher shop, so he would buy meat from the butcher shop for these two partners, what would he do? Yoiv zuze lahai, vizuze lahai. He would compensate one partner, and then he would give also compensation to the other partner. Vahodar, and then Mekarev Lahu Gabe Hadodi, Vahavin Chushbana. Then he would bring the two partners together and would say, Yankala, I gave you $50 for the meat, right? Yes. And Shmerel, I gave you also $50 for the meat, and you guys are partners. So I only have to pay $50 for the meat. Can I work that out? No problem. They'll give him back the $50 for the meat. Reb Yochanan Amar, Kagon Ana, it's like me. Dimazgina arba amos below Torah u below tefillin. What would happen if I went 4 amos without Torah, without tefillin? Rashi explains on the side. Ve'ena kol yodim shenechlashti begir sasi ulemeidin emeimeni leizbalt mitalmud Torah. People see that I'm lax about my observance. Sahainu, this is Chilul Hashem. So this is a whole different approach. What the Gemara is pointing out to us is that martyrdom, dying al Kiddush Hashem, that's only one facet of V'nikdashti B'sof B'nei Yisrael. But there's a whole other aspect, a whole other realm of Kiddush Hashem, which is not dying al Kiddush Hashem, it's living al Kiddush Hashem. It's living in a manner which sanctifies Hashem's Hashem's name. What does that mean? It's exactly what we said before. What is Chilul Hashem? Chilul means vacuous. There's a big empty space. There's no presence of God here. Kiddush Hashem, in terms of living, means you're able to bring Hashem into your life. You demonstrate to people that there is a God that gives us meaning and purpose, direction. That's where we're living, so Hashem becomes a part of our life. Says the Gemara, it's even one more pasuk. Go to the underline here. Abaye Omar. Says Abaye, Kitatanya. This is like it says in the Brisa. Ve'ahavto es Hashem Elokecha. The mitzvah of Avas Hashem. This is one of the most exalted mitzvahs. To reach a level where you actually love the Ribbono Shel Olam. What that means is to appreciate Hashem in the most profound way. So how do you achieve that? It's like stratospheric. How do you get to that level? So the Gemara presents actually something which is included. It doesn't replace actual Avas Hashem, coming to this level of really appreciating the love for Hashem. But included in Avas Hashem and loving God is what? Sheyehei Shem Shemayim Misahiv Al Yodecha. Not just that you should love God, you should cause Hashem to be beloved. When people hear the name of God, they should say, oh, religion, observance, the Almighty, I want in. I want to love that. Not for me. Says the Brisa, Sheyehei Kore Vishone Umishamesh Talmidei Chachamim. A person should be learned and study and hang around rabbis and Talmidei Chachamim. V'yemaso matono benachas imabrios. How do you interact with people? When you get to the... I always use this because, again, maybe it's ingrained in me from living on the East Coast too much. We don't have it so much here. The tolls. When you get to the toll lane, when you have like, 47 lanes of traffic and only two toll takers. So there's always the jockeying for position at that toll taker. There's always, whose car is going first? And everybody's rushing, everybody's late. We're all on the cell phones, everything, the whole story. So says the Gemara, benachas imabrios, the way that you interact with others, it's benachas. It's with calmness. Ma'abrios omrosolov. What do the people out there say about this person? Says the Gemara, Ashrei Aviv Shalimdo Torah. Praiseworthy is a parent, his father who taught him Torah. Ashrei Rabo Shalimdo Torah. Oilahem Labrios Shalolamdu Torah. It's so chaval. Those guys out there who didn't study Torah, who didn't get into it, they're not plugged into something fantastic because it really shapes your personality. It makes you into somebody good. That's what happens when they interact with someone who represents Hashem's name in this world. Kiddush Hashem, meaning the presence of God's name in this world. That's the reaction. Ploni Shalomdo Torah. This person who learned, who studied, who practices. Re'u kama noem derachav. Kama mesukanim masav. I read the whole Gemara because I think this is really what's driving us. This person who studied Torah, who is obviously associated with a particular community, a particular way of life and observance. Wow, look at how noyim derachav, how pleasant his ways are. Kama mesukanim masav. How directed, how fixed are his yashrus, his manners. All of Achos of Omer, Vayomer, he said, Li avdi ato Yisrael asher b'cha es po'er. You, the Jewish people, are the ones in whom I take great splendor. Hashem says, look, Anachas! It's anachas call! When the people go around and say, wow, that's a Jewish person, that's an observant individual, someone who's connected to the Ribbono Shel Olam. I don't want to read the next part of the Gemara. You can read that on your own. What happens if Rahmanul Itzlan, someone represents the Almighty, someone is associated with this particular type of way of life, who represents the Ribbono Shel Olam, but they don't fulfill this mandate of nachas and abrios, of drachim yisharim. I don't want to get into it. So this is the Rambam that codifies this in page 8. And this is what the Rambam writes. In that same parak in Hilchos Yisori HaTorah, where he began talking about Kiddush Hashem in the martyrdom sense, now the Rambam moves over to what we're talking about. Says the Rambam, V'yesh Devarim, where it's demarcated, Yud Aleph, V'yesh Devarim Acherim Shem Bechlal, Chilul Hashem. And there are other things which are subsumed under the rubric of Chilul Hashem. V'hu, Sheyase Odom Godol B'Torah U'mufursim B'chasidus. A person who is great in scholarship and known in piety, dvarim shehabrios meranano sacharov, things that people talk about, things that people gossip about. Not that I'm endorsing gossiping, chas v'shalom. I'm just saying, people talk, you know, whatever. People talk. And not Jewish people, whatever people they talk. I'm just telling you what the Rambam says. Devarim shabrios merano sacharov bishvilon. Va'af al pi she'enam averos. These are things, says the Rambam, he takes the first story of Rav literally, meaning even if they're not averos. When Rav walked out the door of the butcher shop, you think he was going to take the meat without paying? Well, of course he was going to pay. But he didn't pay on the spot. So it makes the shopkeeper a little bit uncomfortable. Other people, I'm thinking, you know, they can also, you know, this guy doesn't pay on time. I don't have to pay on time. Nobody has to pay on time. It's not an avera! But says the Rambam, because this person is mefursim b'chassidus, harei zeh chilul es Hashem, kagon shelokeach ve'eno nosin damam la'alter. And that's the case, by the way, the Rambam just caveat, v'hu sheyesh lo v'nimtzu ha'mochin tovin v'hu makifan. If a person has the money, obviously, if unfortunately someone doesn't have the money to pay, has to take the meat on credit, so that's a different story, says the Rambam. But we're talking about someone who can't afford, who should pay, and they just, you know. Now, I would like to suggest, perhaps, that when the Rambam speaks about a dovar, a person who is gadol b'torah mefursim b'chassidus, I would suggest that let's not get off the hook, because I see someone is thinking, oh, that's not me. I'm not, certainly not mefursim b'chassidus. I'm not a person of reputable piety. I'm not someone who's a great tzaddik, so maybe this halacha doesn't apply to me. But I think the Rambam would be very upset if someone misinterpreted him in that way. Because what the Rambam is saying is, what's the message that's going to be conveyed? So obviously, in the most dramatic sense, it's going to be, if lo aleinu, you see someone who is clearly depicted as, who is reputed as, mefursim b'chassidus, and that's not the perception that people have now, but I think it applies to each of us. Because someone walks around the street with a yarmulke, so that has a certain connotation. It should have a certain connotation, at least, which is, we're supposed to be a nation that's mamleches kohanim v'goy kadosh. We should all be considered mefursim b'chassidus. We should all be studying, you know, ethical and moral behavior, and we should be continuously improving. We should be of the highest moral fabric. So when we are not doing that, I would say that's b'chlal d'ramos kiddush Hashem. And by the way, don't think people can't tell. I was talking to someone yesterday about something else, and he said he was traveling in Italy, and he was speaking to a guy, and the guy, oh, I picked up that he was Jewish. People think, you know, I used to think, if I wear my baseball cap at the airport, no one's going to figure that out, right? You know, like the woman who walks around with a long black skirt, they're not going to figure that one out, that we are mefursim b'chassidus. Avada, you know, they see the tzitzis, they see the peeking out, they see it, everyone's baseball caps. All 50 of the guys were all walking together with these strange bags that have boxes in them. They can't figure out that we're, you know, look, avada, everybody knows. Everybody knows who we are and what we stand for. So it doesn't matter, you know, you can't get out of this Rambam by connection, you know, it's not me, it's somebody else. He's talking about that guy, this guy. The Rambam means for all of us, because we all represent the ideal of mefursim b'chassidus. And that's why the Rambam explains at the end, go to the first wide line, Hakol lefi godlo shel chacham tzarek sheyedaktik al atzmo v'yaseh lefnim b'shuras hadin. Every person based on their station in life and where they're up to. Everybody should go, not what is demanded from them in the letter of the law, beyond the letter of the law. That's what's expected of us. And if the rabbi, if each of us was careful, how we spoke to the people at the woman in the supermarket or wherever, and we're pleasant with the people, we're careful how we converse with them, this is also, you know, it's not an easy thing to do. I'm not saying it's an easy thing to be makabel everybody to save for panim yafos, especially, you know, when you're running out of gas and you're exhausted and you're tired, you pull up to the gas station, and in certain states, not in Illinois, but in certain states, there's actually a gas station attendant. And the truth is that the gas station attendant, usually, he doesn't come from, I would say, the highest echelons of society. But that's not what the Rambam says. It doesn't matter whether the guy's from the highest echelons of society or not. When the gas attendant comes to your car and you roll down the window, well, oh, Taka, I understand why we don't have them here. Because you couldn't roll down the window in the wintertime. It's so, Taka, so freezing. It's not shy enough that they would have gas stations. That's on the tape. All right, fine. So it's so cold, it's no shaykh to have gas stations. But Lu Yitzur had a gas station attendant when you roll down the window to say, to give the guy the credit card. So, you know, you can look at him like, you know, you're waiting, he's picking it up from you. Or you can say, thank you very much. And the guy, he's not an Aar. He sees that you're wearing a yarmulke. He sees that you're somebody, you know, that represents something. Again, in many cases. That's every person according to their station. Makabal, the Sefer Panim Yafos. Says the Rambam, bottom two lines, Ad sheyimtzu hakol mekalsin oso, until at the end of the day, everybody's praising him. Everybody says, wow, it's so pleasant to interact with that person in my business dealings. It's a bachaya. Ad sheyimtzu hakol mekalsin oso, v'oavin oso. People are dealing with those types of people. Umisav and lamasov. People really look forward to interactions with them. Hareze kidesh asashim. That is a formal, legal fulfillment of the mitzvah d'oraisa of Kiddush Hashem. So this transition is highlighted beautifully in the next page by Rabbi Hirsch from Chorev, from his book called Chorev. Now what I did here, for dramatic effect, is I actually took the two pieces from Chorev, pages 9 and page 10, and I reversed them. So don't get confused. In fact, page 10, if you open the Chorev when you look this up afterwards, you'll find page 10 precedes page 9. But I'm reading page 9 first, because that's what we're going to do. You see where it says the little aleph? Because this is where Rabbi Hirsch essentially frames this. He says it backwards. Not backwards, but I would prefer to say it this way. Says Rabbi Hirsch, he quotes the pasuk, Ba'od al yedei moslo. You see where I am, where the little aleph, I put the aleph on the side with a bracket. Rabbi Hirsch says, he's talking all about mesiras nefesh, people, the first model of Kiddush Hashem, martyrdom. What's the purpose of martyrdom, says Rav Hirsch, an incredible insight. The purpose of martyrdom is that what? Ba'od al yedei moscha, through the person's martyrdom and death, ze tafli lasos harbe yoser mi pu'ulo sach itach al yedei chayecha. The reason why martyrdom is so powerful is because you can achieve more through martyrdom than you could in your lifetime. In what way? Yan ki b'mos ha-kedosh, kedoshim kazeh, through the death of such righteous people, hincha meniach acharecha moshal neman v'dugma migudal emunascha b'Hashem v'das kodsho. The purpose of martyrdom is not for you to elevate your own soul, it's because of the impact that you leave behind on others. That what? Lo'osu l'mofez b'o dorcha v'doru doros ha-boim u'lazaracha acharecha. That what? Ech, lend of the line, Ech lahachshir es nafsham, ugle yisromim el kedushas hachayim hazos. The purpose of martyrdom is not so that your soul should be eternally bound with the Almighty. That's true. But the purpose is so that everybody else should see that, the Ribbono Shalom is so precious, it's worth giving up your life. That's the way they have to be mekadesh their life. It's about the way that they live. And now we turn to page 10. This is the way we first started the paragraph. Down there on the bottom, says Rabbi Hirsch, writing to us from Germany in the 1800s, Kilo sechala l'shem Hashem hakadosh rak alecha. It's not just enough not to disgrace the name of Hashem. Alecha losim kol ma'ayonecha la'ames. That what? Gam es omer kodsho v'chafitzo nale. Halo omer v'nikdashi v'sof b'nei Yisrael. That what? Three lines from the bottom of page 10. Three lines from the bottom of page 10. Alecha hachuva v'hamitzvah l'kadish es Hashem. How do you sanctify the name of God, says Rav Hirsch? Al yedei hamashal v'hadugma shal atzmecha v'halichos olamecha. By being a dugma yishit, by being a role model for others, v'halichos olamecha, in the way that you lead your life. Bekerav aras achecha, in the community, among Jews. Alecha laharis haros al yedei hamashal v'hadugma shalcha. You should demonstrate through your actions, ubegoli ubefol ubemaise, ki leben Yisrael haneman, for a Jewish person who's faithful, labas, go back to page 9 please, labas Yisrael hanemana, for a Jewish woman, ein kol davar kodosh benale, there's nothing more sanctified, more exalted, govoa venisa mehakoras Hashem umelo ritzon hakodosh, to fulfill the will of God, and that means in this world, not in a different world. The purpose of martyrdom is for Kiddush Hashem in our world. another Svasemes. Take a look at page 11. The Svasemes is not just an underscoring, which he did before, the Holy Rebbe, the Ger Rebbe, about the importance of martyrdom, of Kiddush Hashem, like we said for Yetzias Mitzrayim, of elevating our souls to Hashem. There's something else. V'nigdashi b'sof b'nei Yisrael. This was five, six years earlier in Tuf Reish Nun Gimel. He made the following observation. Left column where it's demarcated. The pasuk v'nigdashi b'sof b'nei Yisrael. Mitzvahs mesirus nefesh al kedushas Hashem nitam b'nei Yisrael. What does it mean that we are given the commandment of sanctifying God's name, of being moser nefesh? Says the Svasemes. The way that God interacts with us, the way He relates to us, is above the natural realm. This world, it's really only temporary. For us, the real world, that's the world to come. Why? Says Hashem, there are two realms. There's the world of the natural realm, the natural order, and then there's the supernatural, the metaphysical, the above. So we are given the opportunity by, and again, this is part of the whole story, it doesn't reference it here, but the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, that Yetzias Mitzrayim was a Nisan, it elevates us above the natural world. That's a whole separate discussion for another time. So that's the linkage to Yetzias Mitzrayim, but hold that. Says the Svasemes, the purpose of Kiddush Hashem is to be able to elevate yourself from above this world, which means that sometimes we actually give up our life and we move from this world to the next world. But what the Svasemes is driving at is that what is the Iker of Kiddush Hashem? It's to be able to live a worldly existence in an otherworldly way. To live not confined by the boundaries of life and the society in which we live. It's to be elevated. Kiddush Hashem, in the extreme sense, is to elevate us physically from our world to the next world. But what the Svasemes is driving at is what Rav Hirsch is pointing out. That ultimately that's supposed to lead us to live a this worldly life, al pi Kiddush Hashem. Meaning, we don't just do what everybody else does. We don't just say the same things that everybody else says. It's always up to us to be one step ahead of the curve. To be Mekadesh Hashem, not just the way everybody else behaves in business. It's up to us, like the Rambam said, Lefnim Mishur HaSadin. Because what the Svasemes is saying is that it's up to us to be otherworldly. We're not limited by the way that people interact. So what I would close with is this notion that there are two pieces of the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. There's the Kiddush Hashem of martyrdom, of the Smach Tzirit, and the story of the Crusades. But then there's the Kiddush Hashem of living al Kiddush Hashem. So there's a great book, a beautiful book, by Rabbi Jonathan Sacks, the chief rabbi, Sir Jonathan Sacks, the chief rabbi of the British Commonwealth. So he has a book called To Heal a Fractured World. It's like a light yellow, very bright book. There's quite a few books. So this is one book that just was published recently. And in there he has the following, he has a story. And this story inspired me yesterday. Because I live right here in Skokie on a street called Sleeping Bear. Now, most people don't go to Sleeping Bear because if you ever enter Timber Ridge and you don't have a GPS, you'll never find your way out. So most people don't come to Timber Ridge. So who is, lo and behold, driving up across the street from us? There is a U-Haul that's parked across the street. And there used to be a for sale sign, for rent sign at the house across the street. And as I'm walking home from Shulish yesterday, I see a family, an African-American family, who's unloading this U-Haul to the house across the street. So immediately what struck me when I saw this family was a story I read in Rabbi Sacks' book. Because he tells the story of a law professor from Yale, whose name is Stephen Carter, who published a book called Civility. And in this book, he tells the story of his youth. Stephen Carter writes how when he was growing up, he moved as a youth to Washington, D.C. And in D.C., there are various different neighborhoods, and at that time, D.C. was a more... particular neighborhoods, they're not necessarily now the same way they used to be. It was a particularly Jewish neighborhood in downtown D.C. So his family, the first black family, moves onto this block, and all the white families on the street, no one would even look at them. So he said he remembers, he writes in his book, Civility, how he remembers sitting on the stoop, wondering if this was a big mistake. His parents should never have brought them to this white neighborhood in D.C. because they're going to be ostracized forever. And then he writes in the book that that afternoon, it was a hot summer afternoon, a woman from across the street comes out with little sandwiches and lemonade and brings it over to their house and says to these little black kids sitting on the stoop, "Welcome to the neighborhood, would you like something to eat?" And he writes in civility, Professor Carter, that this woman's name was Sarah Kestenbaum. He says she has since passed at a young age. But she taught him, he writes, what the Jewish way of civility is. How is it that you greet people? And that is the essence of Kiddush Hashem. So I was thinking yesterday when I was walking up the street and I saw this black family unloading the U-Haul. So I have two options. I can either do this, run like a madman into my house and think like, okay, what's happening to the neighborhood? Or I can go over and say to these people, "Welcome to the neighborhood. It's nice to have you here." Which I wouldn't have done had I not come across this story. But I think when we do those types of things, when we go out of our way to go above the world, but other people in the world may not do that. Maybe the Derech HaOlam isn't to treat people like Sarah Kestenbaum. But says the Rambam, you got to go with Nimish HaSadin, because that's the essence of Kiddush Hashem. And when we create that Kiddush Hashem, when we live above, that's the greatest, says Rav Hirsch, that's the greatest fulfillment of any martyrdom. That's what the Kedoshim of all the centuries who gave their lives, that's what they want to see from us. That's what they try to inspire from us. And Emir Hashem, with that, with this great merit of Kiddush Hashem, because we said before, Chil Hashem, God forbid, we're not going that direction. But Kiddush Hashem, that's the greatest way to go. With that, we'll be Zoche, God willing, this year, to Ishnas Chaim Shalom. Shana Tova.
I want to thank Rabbi Brand and everyone for participating.